are based on that mission? Does it aid the mission? If it doesn't, then we don't do that. Well, look at this again with me in verse 12. What we see here is that it's easy to lose, the main thing is easy to lose sight of. Paul's reminding them of the arguments that he's made against them or with them. To those who want to make a good impression in the flesh, those who want to make a good impression in the flesh are the ones who would compel you to be circumcised, but only to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Why do we lose focus? Why do we lose the focus on that main thing? Well, the main thing is often very simple. When I worked for the Georgia Baptist Convention, they came together with a main thing, and the main thing was serving Christ by strengthening churches. They're not the people that are supposed to be going out doing it for us. They're the people that we put together to enable the churches to do the mission. And with that main thing, there were some that had been there. They had some restructuring, and there were some that had been there, and they were more in the evangelism area. And they really kind of thought that they had a safety net. They could be evangelists without having to worry about the love offerings, and they can go and preach, and that's kind of what their job was. But that's not what their job was. Their job was to help churches do evangelism. And there had to be a parting of the ways. Kind of mutual, kind of amicable, but a parting of the ways because they didn't want to go in line with that mission. When we have a mission, a purpose, this new creation, it means everything. And when something is very simple like that, we oftentimes want to add to it, don't we? We try to, and that's the problem they were having there is the cross. The death of Christ, his substitutionary death for us in my place on the cross, believing in that changes everything, but there's got to be more to it than that. There's got to be something added to that. It can't be that simple that if I believe and I trust in him, by what he's done, I'll be saved. And so they tried to add things to it. There were groups there that tried to do that, and the reason they were doing it, the motivation behind their doing that was making a good impression in the flesh. That's what Paul said. There are always people around that are going to want to work and serve so that they can say to others, look what I did. Or have, more to the point, probably have others come up and pat them on the back and say, you did a great job. That's always a good thing to encourage others, to tell people they're doing a great job. But if we're doing that great job simply for the praise we're going to get or the impression we're going to make on others, then we've got the wrong motivation. When we serve Christ, when we're following him, we need to remember that we have an audience of one. Only one matters. What one thinks is he's the only one that matters, and that's God. That's Christ himself. He's the one that's giving us the orders. He's the one that is in charge. And if you work for a company and you have a boss, it doesn't really matter what all the other employees think or how good of a job you're doing or what you're doing or think about you. What matters is what your boss thinks, right? We want to make a good impression, but we want to make it to God, not just make it among others. These guys were wanting to make a good impression. They were the ones that today, now counting how many are here on Sunday matters. I did the math the other day and realized that our attendance is up 20% over last year in February. We had 77 average in February, or not February, I don't know where I'm getting that, October last year. This year we had 92 or 93. That makes a difference. But looking around right now, it doesn't seem like that many more people here, does it? You know, it doesn't. We may not notice that if we're not paying attention to those things, counting baptisms and all that. But going, I've mentioned the Georgia Baptist Convention, Southern Baptist Convention, One of the things that used to happen every time you go is you see a friend you hadn't seen in a long time. Well, how's your church doing? Doing great. How many of y'all baptized this year? We baptized about 15. Oh, man, we baptized about 20. There may have been a lot of lies told at these places. Alistair Begg, I saw a video of him, just a little clip, and he said an Irishman, he's Scottish, but he said an Irishman had told him one time that pastors are like dung. He said, what? He said, pastors are kind of like dung. He said, what do you mean? He said, when you spread them out evenly, they do an awful lot of good. When you get them all together, though, they really stink. So you get big crowds of us together sometimes. Y'all wake up this morning now. Making a good impression. We've got that audience of one, but the other thing there is to avoid persecution for the cross and still do good. Say, well, I'm not really talking much about the cross, but man, we're doing a lot of good for people. If we're not talking about the cross, we're not doing any good for anybody. We might be helping somebody here, but if we're not telling them about Jesus and the truth about him and salvation, we're not doing any good. Martin Niemöller was a pastor in Nazi Germany. And he's the one that said, I can't remember the full quote, but he said that they came, speaking of the Nazis, they came for the communists, and I said nothing. Then they came for the Jews, and I said nothing. And then they came for the trade unions, and I said nothing. And then they came for the Catholics, and I said nothing. And he said, then they came for me. And there was nobody left to speak. And he did spend time in jail for preaching the cross of Christ. They were allowed to preach. That was okay, but you couldn't preach about the cross. And a friend visited him in jail, a pastor friend of his, and he came to him and he said, Martin, if you will, you're in jail for preaching certain things. He wouldn't say the cross, but he said, certain things. And Martin said, yes. He said, if you will promise not to preach those things, those certain things, they will let you out of jail. And Martin said, yes, I know. He said, so why are you still in jail? And Martin Niemöller looked at him and he said, sir, the question is, why aren't you in jail? If we're going to preach the cross, we're going to, yeah, it's offensive. There's danger involved in it. People love to talk about love and kindness and faith and warmth and all those things, but when you say that faith has got to be in Jesus, then all of a sudden a lot of people turn away. But Christ is the reason. Christ, the cross is everything. And so what's so special about the cross? What's so special about it? And the cross really must be our personal focus. But as we're ministering, as we're serving each other, loving each other, because of the cross, let's see if I can get this over here. I need to think about this before I get started. Tom, can you flip that screen one for us? Little remote's not wanting to work right this second, but the cross is important. Paul says here, as for me, I'll never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me through the cross, and I to the world. But Paul is saying, look, the cross is everything. What do we need to be focused on as a church? The church itself is the new creation. But me personally, for my life and living my life, the power I need to live it, the strength that I need to go through every day comes from the cross of Christ and knowing that what Paul said there, I have died to the world through the cross and the world has died to me. Because of the cross, we're saved. Because of the cross, we can walk in the Spirit. We can bear the fruit of the Spirit because of the cross. We can have confidence in our salvation because it's not based on what I've done, but on what Jesus did. We have confidence in His promises because a God that would do that is going to keep every promise He makes to us, isn't He? We have eternity because Christ died and He rose from the dead and He conquered death. Without Him, we don't have eternity. Without the cross, we don't have that. We can have a relationship with God, but it's all through the cross of Jesus coming to that cross, willingly going on it and dying in my place and dying in your place with you and with me on His mind at the time and being buried, the indignity of God dying and being buried, but then He rose from the dead 3 days later. Because of that, we have everything. Paul said, I'm not going to boast in what I've done. I'm going to boast in the cross. I'm going to boast in what Jesus has done. And I can look around and see, I could point people out and say, look, I see where God is doing something special in your life. And some have been saved, or in the last few years were saved, and I'm seeing God at work in them. Some have come into the church after being away from church for a while, and God is working in them. And it's not anything that I've done. It's what Christ is doing in them. We're just providing the right environment, the right place, and they're coming in, and God is doing that work. But then the next thing there, the main thing, there it goes, the main thing is a new creation. We've been talking about this. The phrase there, what matters, Paul said both circumcision and uncircumcision mean nothing. You had people there saying, well, you know, I need to be circumcised to become a Jew so that I can become a Christian. And Paul said, no, you don't. And you got some walking around thumping their chests, I've never done that, I'm a Christian, I'm not going to do that. And Paul said, look, you're stirring up as much trouble as the other guys are. None of that means anything. None of that means anything. What he's saying there, what matters instead is a new creation. The way that could be translated is the only thing there is the new creation. We're not worried about sides, and we're not worried about all the things that we can get into. I've talked about before about people coming into the church. What if we have people coming in, and we've had this with tattoos and piercings. What if we have people come in off the street that are dealing with drug addictions and all these kinds of things, and you've welcomed them in as in an amazing way. But what if we had a Democrat walk into the church? I mean, that'd be the end of the world, wouldn't it? A Florida football fan, that'd be, you know, Alabama's okay, we tolerate them, but Florida, I can't. What are we going to do with these people? All that stuff doesn't matter. All that stuff doesn't matter. I try not to comment a lot on politics, because politics, in the end, doesn't matter. If my stance with Donald Trump as president would stop somebody from hearing the gospel, then I don't need to make that public stand. We need to support, we need to pray for, all those kind of things. Don't misunderstand me. But nothing is as important as that new creation. This is what matters, the renewed life. It's an incredible thing there that really encompasses everything. It's the new life as people come to faith in Christ. I love to see children come to faith in Christ. I like to baptize them. They're light. I can dunk them down. If I need to, I can hold them down a little bit. Parents can pay me an extra $10 and I'll dunk them 3 or 4 times if they're acting up. But that new life. And you think, well, children don't change that much. But I've had people tell me, parents or grandparents say, that's a different child. Some of you as adults have come to Christ and you're a different person. It's a new creation. And some have stepped away from Christ, somehow gotten out of step with Him, but now have gotten back in step with Him, and your life's never been what it is right now because of what He's done, what He's doing. It's an amazing thing, that new creation, and He's making all things new, and He's continually doing that. Anything that, when we start thinking about what God does, do you realize anything that doesn't focus on that new creation really needs to go? Anything that doesn't focus on that, that's not in line with that new creation, doesn't really need to be part of the church, does it? What could possibly place it as a higher priority than this? Some of the things I've seen is our preferences. What I like. What I'm comfortable with. We use phrases like, it's always been this way, or we've never done it that way before, and we kind of laugh about those things, but traditions, a lot of times, were good, but maybe outdated. Or we worry about the look of things. And we need to be, but you know, it needs to look like a church. The music we sing. And I'm not on either side here. There are some that say, I can't stand that new music. You're going to be singing new songs in heaven. So embrace some new music. Some say, I can't stand those old hymns. But those old hymns are full of doctrine, full of theology. And would you want to upset the older people that have been here for so long to stop singing them and stop them from worshiping? Would you want to just stay with the hymns and stop the younger people from worshiping? What matters is the new creation, not what I like or don't like. Where we meet, the quickest way I could get fired from here would be to say, we're going to tear this building down and build a new one right out here. Y'all not laughing, are you? That really wasn't a joke. That's about the quickest way I could make the church angry. But think about 1025 Church. It used to be Grace Baptist, and it was meeting over in the old Harmony Baptist Church. And there it was full, packed out, two services every Sunday. They were out of room at about 300, 250 to 300. If they had not relocated, they would still be at about 250 or 300 because of the size of the building. Now, we're not full. We got a good crowd, but we're nowhere near full. Don't misunderstand. But I'm trying to just give examples here. The place where we're meeting, but that's where I was baptized and my children were baptized and I got married there and all these things. Those are great memories, but nothing is going to come into the, nothing is greater than that main thing, the new creation, the work of people being saved, the work of God transforming life. So what's the result of keeping the main thing, the main thing? Well, we're not working again, Tom. Would you flip that over to that last set of notes there. What's the result of keeping the main thing the main thing? He says in verse 16, may peace come to all those who follow this standard. What's the standard? Both circumcision and uncircumcision mean nothing. What matters instead is a new creation, the work that Christ has done through His cross. That's it. That's the main thing. So the promise there is peace. May peace come on all who follow this standard. There are a lot of churches that, and Baptists, unfortunately, are known for fighting and arguing. We're a contentious people. There's somebody gave me a book that I can't remember exactly who it was now, but it's on my shelves there. The title of it is "We Are a Contentious People," and it's the history of Baptists. We seem to enjoy those things, but when we are arguing, unless it's over the authority of Scripture, and even when it's over the authority of Scripture, a lot of times it's because we just lost focus on the main thing. We've forgotten who we are and why we're here. We're not arguing, thank goodness. We're not arguing here. Please don't understand. Don't think that. But when we're following Christ together, when our focus is going the same way, we're going to be at peace with each other and we're going to be at peace with God. It's going to be a place that you come into and you are loved and your opinions are heard and they matter and they count, and we're going to love each other and we're going to pray together and we're going to go out and serve God together. When we lose focus on that, that's not what happens. He says, "May peace come to all those who follow this standard, and mercy even to the Israel of God." One church I pastored, they wanted to know, I'd been there about 3 years, they wanted to know why I hadn't gotten all their teenage and 20-year-old children back in the church. And it got kind of contentious there, and I finally looked at them and I said, "How long have you been fighting here in this church? The last 20 years or so?" And they said, "Well, yeah, at least." I kind of laughed. I said, "How old are your children?" "About 20 years old." "Why would they want to come back?" I didn't last very much longer there. Honestly, I was gone after about a few more months. We were gone. May mercy come on the Israel of God, those who are out there that don't know Jesus. Paul's talking literally about Israel, but he's mentioning everybody that doesn't know Christ. If we're focused in here, we're not going to reach the people that are out there. What do we need to do to reach the people that are out there, to give them this mercy of God, the grace of God that we spent probably 10 weeks talking about? What do we need to focus on? Salvation to lost souls around us. The work of Jesus, so those new creations, we'll see those, and His mercy and grace goes out all around us. So let me ask this question: where is your focus placed? We had a great work day, and the church needs to look good. Don't misunderstand. That's something that is important to reach people. One member told me it was after we had spent the money to have the parking lot resurfaced, and we had spent some money outside getting some flowers planted and different things done, and we were having homecoming. And people were coming. It was pouring down rain that day. And I don't mean raining a little bit. I mean buckets of rain. And people were just filing in and bringing the food in and getting ready for the worship. And he told me that day, he said, I went along with it, but I thought you were crazy, that spending money on the outside of the church would make any difference, but it has. It's important that we have everything looking good. Those things are incredibly important. But what matters, even if we were in a rundown shack or just set up a tent and meeting in that, is that as we leave this place, we're walking with God, and our focus is not on what's happening here, but what's happening out there. Because the more people you sit down and talk with, the more people you hear their story, you realize how much they need Jesus. How much they need Him. Paul is harsh with these churches in Galatia because they had gone away from the cross. And he said, you can't do that. You stop being a church when you do that. The cross is everything. The new creation is all there is. That comes through the cross. If your focus is anywhere else, today's the day to say, God, change my focus. It's not an easy thing. I'll be honest with you, this morning I sat down and prayed, and as I was in a time of confession, there was something, and I would love to say I'm having a hard time putting my finger on it, but I know kind of what it is, that there was just some kind of resistance in me to give that over to God, because I like, you know, it's about the things that I'm eating and my health, and I like Little Debbie's. And I like when you cook pies and cakes and all that. I like those things. And I don't want to say, Lord, I'm not going to do that again. But I have to turn that over to God, because it is, in my part, it is sin in me that that is hurting my health. So I've got to stop that. I don't like that. But God's changing my focus. What I like doesn't matter so much. What He's doing is what matters. What you like doesn't matter so much. It's what God's doing. I believe God is doing a work in this community. God is doing a work in this church, I know. And I believe we're going to see people coming in more and more. I believe we're going to see that happening. What are you willing to do to make sure it happens? What are you willing to lay aside or to pick up? I know that last Sunday we had a problem of somebody brought a baby down to the nursery and there was nobody there in the baby nursery. Children's church was going on, but it was, and they came down there not at the beginning of the service, but kind of the middle of the service. So anybody that had been down there were no babies, probably came back up here, which is fine. I mean, there's nothing, nobody did anything wrong, I don't think, but we need these things staffed. We need people. We need more people helping and working with it. What are you willing to say yes to God about? What are you willing to say, we've never done this before, but we could do whatever it is. Gabe came to me a while back and said, you know, we could do a Christmas tree out there, you know, an artificial Christmas tree. We ended up with a live one, but we'd already done that, and I kind of wanted to get it going again, but he's got all kinds of things he's thinking about that are different. We haven't done them before. What are we willing to jump in and try to see people come to faith in Christ? To be a place that we keep water in the baptistry so that we can baptize every week. What are you willing to say yes to God about? Or say no to that may be something you don't need? Maybe that you're here today and you need to know Christ, and that's something that is so easy. The work has been done. The cross did all the work. Jesus did that. His blood paid for our sin, and our sin is forgiven. And we simply trust what He did so that grace is applied to us. If you're willing to do that, to say, Lord, I don't want to go the way that I've been going. I want to follow You. I don't know how, but I want to follow You. And you are willing to turn toward Him, you will be saved immediately. Amen. It's a great promise of God. If you're away from God, estranged from God, you say, Lord, I want to come home. By the by the time you say, Lord, you're already there. He's already got you. Lord, I can't do this, whatever ministry. That's going to be a longer conversation because he's going to say, yes, you can. Or I'm going to do that through you. What is God saying to you this morning? How do you need to respond to him? I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand. And we're going to have a word of prayer. Right after we pray this morning, Stephanie's going to come lead us in a song as we're singing. If God's dealing with you about anything, come pray at the altar. You can come sit on the front row over here and pray if you can't kneel. Come talk with me. Do whatever you need to do. But you make things right with God today and be obedient to him. Amen. Father, thank you. You love us. Lord, you challenge us. And you lay out for us clearly what the main thing is, that work you're doing in us and around us to see that new creation, to bring life into the dead, Lord. Father, I pray right now that we will be obedient to you, that we'll respond to you in every way. In your name we pray. Amen.